This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now we would be having the question and answer session. We would like you to kindly understand and observe the rules that have to be followed during the question and answer session so that we can derive the maximum benefit from it. 3 mics have been provided for the questions from the audience, 2 down here below for the gents, and 1 up in the center in the balcony for the ladies. 1 question at a time will be put on the mic. The first question being asked by the lady on the top, then we move down to the brother on my right hand side, then we move up again to the next lady in the balcony, we move down on my left hand side to the next brother here, and similar fashion we move up and down in the center on the top and on the 2 sides below. Written questions on slip papers which are available from volunteers standing in the aisles will be given a second preference after the questions on the mics have been answered by Dr. Zakir. Questions asked should be on the topic women's right in Islam, modernizing or outdated only. Kindly state your question briefly and to the point, preferably in 1 to 3 sentences. This is a question and answer session, not a lecture or a debate session. Only 1 question at a time may be asked. If time permits us, we may allow you a second chance after the others have completed their chance. In the interest of having a less time wasting, a more educative and an interesting question and answer session, our decision to allow or disallow irrelevant questions or time wasting questions will be final. In the interest of eliciting a proper and clear answer from our speaker, kindly state your name and designation before putting forward your question. Your name and designation before you put forward your question so that we can give you a more appropriate answer. Thank you. We start our question and answer session. Dr. Zakir Naik ready at his mic. The questioners ready at theirs. May we have the first question from the ladies in the balcony.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Saba and I'm a student. I would like to ask you a question, Zakir Bhai. A man will have hoor, that is beautiful maidens, when he enters paradise. What will a woman get when she enters paradise?
This is therefore the question that when a man enters paradise, he will get hoor, that is a beautiful maiden. What will the woman get when she enters paradise? The Quran has mentioned the word hoor in no less than 4 different places. It's mentioned in Surah Dukhan, chapter number 44, verse number 54. It's mentioned in Surah Tur, chapter number 52, verse number 20. It's mentioned in Surah Rahman, chapter number 55, verse number 72, as well as in Surah Waqiyah, chapter number 46, verse number 22. And many of the translations, especially the Urdu translations, have translated the word hoor as beautiful maiden. If the word hoor means a beautiful maiden, it means a beautiful maiden, then what will the woman get in paradise? Actually, the word hoor is a plural for ahwar, which is applicable to the man, and hawar, which is applicable to the woman. And it signifies the characteristic of hawar, which means big, white, beautiful eye, and describes especially the whiteness of the eye. The similar thing is mentioned as azwaj al-mutahharin, many places in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 25, and so in Nisa chapter number 4, verse number 57, it says, Azwajun Mutaharatun, which means companion, pair. So the word hur is rightly translated by Muhammad Asad as spouse, and also by Abdullah Yusuf Ali. Abdullah Yusuf Ali as companion. So hur actually means a companion or a spouse. It has no gender. For the man, he will get a good lady with big beautiful eyes, and for a woman, she will get a good man with big beautiful eyes. I hope that answers the question.
The brother on my right hand side, please.
Assalamu alaikum. Sultan Qazi, I'm in service. I would like to pose a certain question to Dr. Zakir Naik. For evidence given, to prove evidence, why are there two female witnesses against one male witness?
The brother asked a very important question, that why are two women witness equal to one witness in Islam? Two women witnesses are not equal to one woman witness. Two women witnesses are not equal to one man witnesses in all the cases. Only in certain cases. There are at least five verses in the Quran which speak about the witnesses without specifying male or female. In one place, there is an indication in which two women witnesses is equal to one witness of man, and that's in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 282, which happens to be the longest verse of the Quran. It says that when you involve in financial transactions in which future obligations are there, reduce them in writing and take two witnesses among the men. If you can't find two men witnesses, take one man and two women, so that if one of them gets confused, the other will remind her. This verse of the Quran, Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 282, only deals with financial aspects. Only in financial aspects, it is said that take two men as witnesses, preferable. Only if you can't find two men as witnesses, take one man and two women. Let me give you an example for a better understanding. Suppose a person wants to undergo a surgery. He wants to undergo an operation. But naturally, he would prefer taking the advice of two qualified surgeons. If he cannot find two qualified surgeons, he would take the advice of one qualified surgeon at least, backed with two normal general practitioners who have got a normal MBBS degree. Because a surgeon is more qualified in the field of surgery as compared to a plain MBBS doctor. In the same fashion, since the responsibility of the financial aspects has been laid on the shoulders of the man in Islam, he is more well-versed in finance as compared to the woman. That's why the best option for witnesses in financial transactions is two men. If you can't find two men, then one man and two women. Again, if you read in Surah Maida, chapter number 5, verse number 106, it says that when anyone writes a will of inheritance, take two men as witnesses. Again, dealing with financial transactions, men are preferred. Some of the jurists say that even while giving witnesses, in cases of murder, the feminine nature may obstruct her and she may get scared in cases of murder. That's why even in cases of murders, two women witnesses are equal to one witness of man. Only under these two conditions, the finance and cases of murder, are two women witnesses equal to one. Some of the scholars say no. Islam says, one place in Surah Baqarah chapter 2, verse number 282, that two women equal to one man, therefore under all circumstances, two women is always equal to one man. Let's analyze. As I said, let's analyze the Quran as a whole. If you read the Quran in Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 6, it states that if any of you put a charge against your spouse, and if they have no evidence If they have no evidence, their solitary evidence is sufficient. Means if a husband wants to put a charge against the wife, or the wife has to put a charge against the husband, if they have got no witnesses, their solitary evidence is sufficient. This verse clearly indicates that one woman witness is equal to one witness of man. There are several cases which the jurists agree that even in cases of sighting of moon, one woman witness is sufficient. Some jurists say that in the beginning of Ramadan, one witness is required. At the end of Ramadan, two witnesses are required. It does not make a difference whether they are man or woman. There are certain cases in which man's witness cannot be accepted. Only woman's witness is accepted. All are waiting for the answer, I believe. Suppose you want to give a witness for the burial bath of a woman. After a woman dies, the witness for a burial bath can only be given by a woman. And only in extreme cases, when you can't find women, then can the husband give the witness. So here, the woman witness is preferable. Hope that clarifies the doubt, brother.
Those who are interested in writing question on the slips, you may kindly raise your hands so that we have assistants standing around. They could come and help you out with the slip of paper or a pen or whatever is required. So that, and it can be passed on down the sides of the stage to me, so we can carry on as a secondary preference later on. May we have the next question from the sister on the top, please?
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Sheila. I would like to ask, why is polygamy permitted in Islam? And that is, why is a man allowed to marry more than one wife?
Sister asked the question that why is polygamy permitted in Islam? That is, why is a man allowed to marry more than one wife in Islam? The polygamy actually means that a person who has more than one spouse is divided into two categories. Polygyny, in which a man has more than one wife, and polyandry, in which a woman has got more than one husband. People normally think polygamy means a man can marry more than one wife. Polygamy means both. A person having more than one spouse. If a man has more than one wife, it's called polygyny. And if a woman has more than one husband, it's called polyandry. But since the sisters mainly ask the question, why is a man allowed to marry more than one wife, I will answer, why is polygyny allowed in Islam? Quran happens to be the only religious book on the face of the earth which says, marry only one. There is no religious book on the face of the earth which says, marry only one. You read the Gita, you read the Veda, you read the Ramayana, you read the Mahabharata, you read the Bible. Nowhere is it mentioned, marry only one. It's only mentioned the Quran. In fact, if you read the Hindu scriptures, most of the kings had several wives. King Dashrath had more than one wife. Lord Krishna had several wives. If you read the Jewish scriptures, the Jewish law allowed polygyny. It was only in the 11th century when Rabbi Gershom ben Yehuda, he passed the synod and said polygyny should not be allowed. Still it was practiced by the Sephardic Jewish community in the Muslim countries. Until in 1950, the chief rabbinate of Israel put a ban on it. The Christian Bible allows polygyny. Only a couple of centuries ago, the church put a ban on it. Even if you analyze the legal aspect of India, the Indian law allowed a Hindu man to have more than one wife. It was only in 1954 when the Hindu Marriage Act was passed. And if I'm wrong, Justice Kazi can correct me. When the Hindu Marriage Act was passed in 1954, which put a ban and prohibited the Hindu man to marry more than one wife. If you see the statistics, according to a committee report on the status of women in Islam, which was published in 1975, on page number 66 and 67, it states the percentage of polygamous marriages. And it says that the percentage in which the Hindu did polygamous marriages, it was 5.06. And the percentage of Muslim polygamous marriages was only 4.31. Let's leave the statistic aside. Let's come to the main point. Why does Islam allow polygyny? As I mentioned earlier, Quran is the only religious book on the face of the earth which says marry only one. It's mentioned through Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 3, that you can marry a woman of your choice in twos, threes or fours, but if you can't do justice, marry only one. The statement marry only one is only given in the Quran. It's not there in any other religious books. In pre-Islamic Arabia, men had several wives. Some people had hundreds of wives. Islam put an upper limit to polygamy, maximum four. And you can have more than one wife only on the condition that you can do equal justice between the two, or between the three or four. Otherwise, only one. And the same surah, Surah Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 129 says that it is very difficult for a man to be just between his wives. So polygamy is an exception, it is not the rule. Many people think that Islam says we should compulsory marry more than one wife. There are five categories of do's and don'ts in Islam. First category is compulsory, which is first. The second category is recommended or encouraged. The third category is the permissible category. The fourth category is the discouraged category. And the last is prohibited or forbidden. Polygyny falls in the middle category of permissible. There is no statement in any hadith on the Quran which says that if a man marries more than one wife, he is a better Muslim than a person who marries only one wife. Let's analyze logically. Why does Islam allow a man to marry more than one wife? By nature, men and women are born, male and female are born in equal proportion. But medical science tells us that the fetus, if it's a female, is more stronger than the male fetus. Pediatric knowledge tells us that a female child has got more resistance than the male child. A female child can fight germs and disease much more stronger and a better way than the male child. Medical science tells us that the female is health-wise a stronger sex than the male. So, in the pediatric age itself, the female ratio is higher than the male ratio. Wars take place in the world, and during wars, more male are killed than the female. Even in the recent war which took place in Afghanistan, approximately more than 1.5 million people were martyred, out of which most of them were men. Statistics tells us that accidents take place. More of the men die in accidents than the females. More male death takes place due to cigarette smoking than female death. Therefore, you have more female in the world as compared to the male. India is one of the countries, besides a few of the Asian countries and Africa, in which the female population is more than the male population. And the reason I've given you, because more than 1 million fetuses, female fetuses, are being aborted every year. And because of the high rate of infanticide, female infanticide, that's the reason that females are less than the male. Otherwise, you stop this evil practice, and within a few decades you'll have that the male population will become much less than the female population. In New York alone, there are 1 million females more than male. In USA alone, there are 7.8 million females more than male. And out of the male population of New York, one third are gay. They are sodomized. That means they can't find female partners. And there are more than 25 million gays in America. In Britain alone, there are more than 4 million females more than male. In Germany alone, there are 5 million females more than male. In Russia alone, there are 7 million females more than male. And God knows how many million females are there more than the male in this whole world. And suppose my sister happens to live in America. And suppose the market is saturated. Every man has found a female partner for himself. Still, there will be more than 30 million females in USA alone who will not be able to find husband. And suppose my sister who is living in America happens to be among the unfortunate ladies who has not found a partner yet. The only option remaining for her is that she either marries a husband, she marries a man who already has a wife, or she becomes public property. There is no third option. And believe me, I posed this question to hundreds of non-Muslims, and everyone opted for the first. No one so far has opted for the second. But there are some people who are smart, and he said that I would prefer my sister remaining a virgin. Believe me, medical science tells us that a man or a woman cannot remain a virgin throughout her life. She cannot remain a virgin throughout her life without indulging in illicit sex or sexual perversions, because daily sex hormones are being liberated in the body. And those great men who claim to have renounced the world, for example, the sages and the sons who go to mountains and Himalayas, behind them you find the devdas is going. For what? According to a report, out of the priests and the nuns of the Church of England, the majority indulge in fornication and homosexuality. There is no option, there is no third option. The only option is that you marry a husband who already has a wife, or you become public property.
In continuation of that question, we have got a question on the slip. Can you enumerate the various conditions in which polygamy is permitted? This is from Sister Samina. Can you enumerate the various conditions in which polygamy is permitted?
The sister has a question that can you enumerate the various conditions in which polygyny is permitted? The only condition which allows a man to marry more than one wife is that he should do justice between the two wives. If he can do justice between the two or three or four wives that he has, he is allowed to take more than one wife. If he can't do justice, he should suffice with only one wife. But there are several conditions in which it is more advisable for a man to take more than one wife. One of the examples I gave is because of the surplus woman which can't find husband. Islam has allowed polygyny to protect the modesty of the woman. There are several other conditions. For example, suppose a young lady, she gets married, and within maybe approximately a few months of a marriage, she has an accident and she gets handicapped and she cannot satisfy the husband. The only option for the husband is that he either keeps his first wife with a handicap and takes another wife, or he divorces the first wife and marries a new wife. I'm telling you, suppose your sister happens to be that unfortunate lady who gets handicapped, which would you prefer? Would you prefer your brother-in-law to divorce her and to marry a new wife, or would you prefer your brother-in-law to keep that first wife and to take another wife? There are situations in which the wife can become seriously ill. She can have a disease in which she will not be able to look after the children, or look after the husband. Under such conditions, it is more advisable that that wife shares the husband with another lady, who will not only look after the husband, will also look after her as well as the children. Many people may argue that why can't you keep a maid servant or a nurse who look after the children? I do agree with you. You can very well keep a maid servant who will look after your children and your wife. But who will look after you then? Very soon, that maid servant will start looking after you also. So the best option is that you keep your first wife and take another wife and treat both of them equally. There can be conditions such as after several years of marriage, you have got no children. And maybe both the husband and wife, they yearn for a child. The wife can very well give permission to the husband to marry another wife and they can have more children. Some people may argue that why don't you adopt a child? Islam does not allow adoption, for which there are several reasons. I won't go into that. The only option remaining here is that he either divorces the first wife and takes another wife if he wants children, or he keeps the first wife and takes another wife and treats both of them equally. I hope these are sufficient reasons.
The next question from the brother on the left.